Hi, friends. This is Angie,
Nikki,
Bonnie,
and Becca,
your host of the Seasons Ministry podcast. We are thankful to have you joining us again back in this interesting book of a minor prophet, Jonah. And our last episode, we looked at how anger and bitterness can just really take root in our hearts and just change the way we see everything happening around us. But thankful, it's not just Jonah's response that we have in chapter 4, but we also see God continuing to do a work. So that's where we're going to begin this discussion. And I am going to be reading in Jonah 4, verse 4, and then I'm going to jump down to 9 through 11. And that's just focusing in on what the Lord has to say. So verse 4, and the Lord said, "Do you do well to be angry?" And then in verse 9, God said to Jonah, "Do you do well to be angry for the plant?" And Jonah said, "Yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die." And the Lord said, "You pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left? And also much cattle." What a way to end.
You know, he doubled down. God gave him an opportunity, but instead of, you know, changing his opinion, he doubled down instead and said, "Yes, angry enough to die." This could have been a win-win story, but Jonah was so invested and so all in on his own outcome that he kind of just let this opportunity pass by. And I don't know why this is the second time in the series I've been reminded of the book of Esther. When she was kind of not wanting to go before the king, Mordecai told her, "The deliverance will come, and this is your kind of your chance to be a part of it. If you don't do this, it will come from some other direction." So, you know, God's will for Nineveh was unstoppable, and Jonah had a part to play in it. And whether or not he was obedient, he would be drug along in this will of God. And it's kind of a call to action for us as well. You know, I think we have to be cautious about inserting ourselves into scripture because, you know, I kind of grew up in a generation where we were taught, "I'm Daniel, dare to be a Daniel," or "I'm David." Well, I'm not David. I'm the cowards that are, you know, shaking in their boots back in the camp. The Lord is the deliverer. So we have, you know, we have a tendency just out of habit to paint ourselves as the hero of the story when the hero is Jesus. And, you know, the whole scope of the story is God's will. So we have to be humble enough to seek God's wisdom and direction for the part that we get a chance to play.
So it makes me think of Romans chapter 12, which is, again, the theme verse of this series. The series is overarching beyond the book of Jonah, so I thought I better say that to explain. But this Transform series that we are in right now comes from Romans chapter 12, and verse 2 is, "Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God." And then I also want to throw in the very last verse in that chapter, which I can't see even with my glasses. I think it might be 26 or something. "Do not be conquered by evil, but conquer evil with good." And the reason that I come to that verse is we have choices. You're right, God's will is unstoppable. But what we can control is our attitude and our choice for our attitude in it. So when it says in Romans, "Don't be conformed to this world or to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind," what we're seeing is God continuously giving an opportunity to Jonah to have a transformed, renewed mind. But we also see Jonah choosing to conform to the patterns of this world and choose his anger and choose his bitterness. So instead of conquering evil with good, he is being conquered by evil over and over in this book. And I think that is something that we are living too. We are conquered by evil, or we conquer evil with good, not by not by our own power, right? Not by might or by strength, but by my spirit, says the Lord. I think I said that wrong, but again, this is about God's transformation process, and he gives us the choice. We respond. Jonah didn't really have a choice. I don't think Jonah was given a choice about going to Nineveh, but the choice that he had was his attitude and his heart. And I think that God gave him opportunity after opportunity to allow that transformation process to happen. And I think it did eventually. After God questioned him in those last few verses, and that's where the book ends. And we don't know, and it doesn't matter that we know, because the point isn't Jonah, and the point isn't did he change and did he go back to Israel and what happened with Nineveh and all of that stuff. The point is God is compassionate and merciful and slow to anger, and he knows what we are made of, and he gives us endless opportunities to have an attitude transformation.
Yes, I think sometimes we just have to even sit in it. We're very, very quick to speak and use those words when we're angry. But if we just sit in it and allow God, maybe even just ask him, like, God, what are you doing within me right now so that I don't give in and just be more evil in this world, but that I can point people back to you. As Becca was speaking, I was looking down in the book of Jonah, and mine has a devotional in it, and I just want to read a couple of the lines out of that that says, "An inward focus warps our view of God and leads to personal misery. A self-centered life is never a contented life nor a productive one. It's a small life." And so this is what we have a tendency to do. And what we see Jonah doing is just focusing in on his own emotions, his own plan, rather than laying it down and walking in God's plan. And just like Esther had a choice in what she chose to do, she chose to fast and look to God and to trust in what he would do, but she would take that next step of what he was asking her to do. And sometimes that's a scary in-between place to be. But our focus has to return back up to this God who is slow to anger, full of mercy, whose story has been going for hundreds and thousands of years and playing out. I don't want my life to be small and all about me. I want it to be big and all about God. And I can't do that in my own will and following my own emotions in that. So I have to look to God. I have to spend time. I know that when we were focused in on Romans 12:2, in that specific word transform, it said that it's a change that happens after spending time with, God and recognizing what he's done in all of our lives. Then we can choose differently than if we were just focused on our own self.
This is going to seem like it's from way out in left field, but that's how I roll. So one of the reasons I love the science fiction series Doctor Who is because of the transformation of the secondary characters when they spend time traveling with the Doctor. And I always thought that was kind of a portrait of Christianity, where here comes someone who's not of this world, and you have this opportunity. You have to make a choice. Am I going to follow this person or not? And if you make the decision to follow this person, then the more time you spend with this figure, the more you transform. So the secondary characters, they always started out as being really timid, being confused, being afraid, because now they're taken out of their normal world into this, you know, world of adventure and strangeness. And just the way that they grew over time as characters, I think, is a reflection of how we grow when we travel with the Lord through this life. And you know, I see that one of the things that I've been really blessed to be a part of is a, you know, a long-term faith community. So as I grow up with people that are my age or, you know, the generation ahead of me, I've been able to witness the ways that they have been transformed over generations. And, you know, some people who were really strict or did have quick tempers have mellowed over the years in gradual ways. And, you know, my friends that I have grown up with have transformed and have taken steps that, you know, when we were kids, we never could have anticipated. So it's just been a joy to be a part long term of that community and, you know, to be able to pray for one another that the Lord would knock off our rough edges and soften us and grow us and stretch us in ways that are very uncomfortable, very, very uncomfortable. No one likes the process of transformation, but if we can stick with it, we can enjoy the state of being transformed later.
It's a hindsight perspective.
Well, even if you think of, like, my mind goes to the scientific piece of I've got a butterfly sitting in front of me, but the part from where it's breaking out to become that beautiful thing that we love to see, that's not an easy process. It's like fighting and I don't even know if I should do some more research on that to have better words, but just that visual of fighting to break free to be something new.
Yeah, I think it is a process, and I think that is why we should have such a gratitude to God for being slow to anger. It makes me think of Psalms 103. In verse, I'm just going to back up a little. I'm planning on reading 14, but if I back up a little bit to 8, this whole chapter in my Bible is a descriptive psalm about the forgiving God. And it describes God in verse 8. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in faithful love. He will not always accuse us or be angry forever. He has not dealt with us as our sins deserve or repaid us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his faithful love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows what we are made of, remembering that we are dust. I always come back to that when I think we don't need to live in the sackcloth and ashes repentant state. You know, God doesn't want us to always just be beating ourselves up and thinking about how I screwed this up or how I struggle with that, because he doesn't want our focus to be on ourselves either. And as long as we are looking at ourselves, whether we are glorifying ourselves in self-righteousness or criticizing ourselves in repentance and conviction, we're still focusing on ourselves. But when God looks at us, he sees us as sinners, yes. But he also remembers our limitations. He remembers that he made us out of dust. So when we go through this transformation process, we can look to this God who is slow to anger and compassionate and full of mercy and know that he sees the transformation process as a beautiful process. He sees what's coming, like it says, for the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross. So Jesus was looking forward to the end product of what was coming, and that was propelling him step by step through that painful process. And I think that's where we want to land when we look at this transformation process. Yes, it's painful. If we look at Romans 12:1, it talks about offering ourselves as a living sacrifice because that's our true worship. Being a sacrifice is a painful place, but Jesus took that step even farther than we can ever take it, you know, and he did it for the end result, and that's what we are doing. Our transformation process isn't for our salvation. It's after or beginning with our salvation and then moving from there to, you know, the sanctification. I think that's the church word for the transformation process that we're talking about. But still, you know, it's a process and it's difficult, but it's so worth it.
I'm being assured as we're sitting here this morning of the words of an old song that children would sing sometimes, but it applies to us as adults. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the moon and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and faithful he must be. He's still working on me. And that is that, call it sanctification, you know, call it transformation. It's a lifelong process, you know.
I think that's exactly what we can have the choice to do is behold him.
Amen.
In Jonah 2:9, we were reminded that salvation belongs to the Lord. And in 2 Peter 3:9, it says that the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some might count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. And so we can choose, like Jonah, to question God's choice in saving others. But what good does that do for us? Instead, can we not just behold him that for no reason that I can explain, the more that I spend time in God's word and his story, the more I'm blown away and I just throw my hands up and say, I have no idea why you didn't give up us on us sinful people a long, long time ago. But you desired for salvation to be made through your son. And for people like me, broken, the Jonas of the world, to have an opportunity to be a part of this transformation and to experience the glory of God, albeit through a fogged up lens that I mentioned last episode, but to behold that peace, any struggle that we would have to face is worth beholding the one who made salvation available.
Amen. When we first started to talk about starting seasons, that was a period of transformation for me, and it was one of the most uncomfortable periods of my life. But it was so, so necessary to kind of strip away some things. And it's not pleasant. And, you know, Becca mentioned the word sanctification. That's not a word that you hear commonly taught in churches anymore because, I mean, honestly, it's not that pleasant to talk about. Like, no one likes those times, but they're so necessary. And I think when we're able to look back over our lives, those are the times when we grow. And we have discussed that in previous sessions too, that, you know, it's not the easy times that really grow you. It's those periods of intensity, the ones that make us kind of writhe and wriggle around and try to get out from underneath that conviction or that change. Because we do get, like we said, so attached to this present state and invested in this. And we long for that certainty. And a lot of times that certainty is not there. We don't know how this is going to end up. We just know that it's going to be different. And we're going into a new chapter. And we resist it. And sometimes, like Jonah, we try to run away from God. But, you know, that is part of living life in faith, is just that transition and that transformation where he makes us more like himself. And Angie, you already mentioned, you know, how uncomfortable that is for butterflies who might be emerging from this dark place. The dark place is where the change happens. You know, babies are in a dark womb developing over time. And guess what? The process of birth coming into a new place is not that pleasant for the baby either. you know, like we mentioned last session, I dread this dark time of the year, but I'm reminded even in fantasy and fairy tale stories, you know, the dark times are where the magic happens. And, you know, the days get short and then here comes a new year. Like there's that rebirth again. So we see this dark place as being, you know, a place that really can facilitate the transformation, even though we try to avoid it with everything that we've got.
We don't we don't know the ending of Jonah's story, but I'm thinking when we look back talking about this transformation, and we see several transformations in the book of Jonah. Like one commentator put it, you know, that there are steps and kind of that we can observe with angry people. It's one, they quit serving God, or they pull away from God. And another, they separate from others. You know, do we see Jonah doing that? And then the danger in all of that is we just become a spectator. We are no longer a participant, doing kingdom work, doing what God is calling us to do. And I think we all have to be aware of that about ourselves, especially if we see life as unfair or what God is doing as unfair. And so we have to step out of self, yeah. You know, and always, I think that's key. It's not about me, you know, and it's not really about those of us sitting around this table or those of us listening. You know, it's about God and what he calls us to do, you know. And, you know, we all, like we've said over and over and over, we all are like Jonah. You know, there are times that we literally do run from God. And there are times that we don't understand what God is doing. You know, we don't even agree with what God is doing. And it's like, God, I don't know why you're doing that. But somehow, if we can just keep the main thing, and the main focus, and on Jesus and his transforming power, and we have that power within us, you know. So sometimes I wonder, why do we battle? Why don't we just give in? God knows best.
It reminds me, I guess, it's funny because earlier this year, I kept referencing Romans 12, but instead I was saying Hebrews 12. And so here I am in Hebrews 12, and this time when I say it, it's actually I already said it once, and I know Hebrews 12 is in my head because I love the verse that says, "For the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross." And I said that once already. That is in verse, I can't read it, 2 maybe. But the beginning of that chapter, it says, "Therefore, since we have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every hindrance and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that lays before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and perfecter of our faith." And I think that really encapsulates the heart of the book of Jonah. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Let everything that is holding you back from living and breathing that, set it aside and push forward, keeping your eyes on Jesus. Because Jonah was ensnared by pride, and he was ensnared by anger and bitterness and resentment. But all of those things, yes, we need to talk about them, and yes, we do experience them, but those are the hindrances, like it says in Hebrews 12. Those are the things that are holding us back, and we need to set those aside because it's not about us. Do I have anger? Sure. Is it justified? Maybe. Does it matter? Not really, because it's not about me. God isn't saying, "Jonah, how do you feel about all this? Let's talk about it." He invites him to do that, but he wants him to do that as a process to get to laying it down. And I think that's what we want to, as we're wrapping up in this session and the next session, this series, I think that's where we want to come to, is what do we need to lay down in order to focus our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And so, Angie, as we shift gears, I guess, from Jonah to this bigger purpose of What is the goal of this? What is the transformation that we're working towards? How does Jesus factor into it when he didn't come around for a few hundred years? And how does it relate to us? You have some big idea to share with us, maybe.
Oh, do I?
I keep going back to that visual of the fogged up glasses. I mean, that's all of the Old Testament. I have grown to have such a love for the Old Testament because it's showing us pieces that are pointing to Jesus. Jesus was there from the very beginning just because he came to earth in his manifestation as a child, right, born to a virgin in the New Testament. He is there from the very beginning. And the more and more you dive into scripture, that word will be awakened in you and you'll see that's why Jesus is referred to the better Jonah, that he was the better prophet. So there are all those pieces in here that we can find that truly do transform us. The word is the one thing. Becca referenced us as being dust, but the grass withers and
the flowers fade, but the word...
And it lasts forever.
Yes.
Yes.
I was just giving you a hint.
Thank you. Yes. All of that coming together. It's the word that carries. And when I just love studying it. And so as I'm looking down at my page, the one word that keeps coming to me out of Jonah 4 is appointed. And that goes back to God's transforming work. Because you see, we can focus on, yes, God saved 120,000 persons. He was still interested in the heart of Jonah. He's still interested in the heart of you, the heart of me. God appointed a fish back in Jonah 2. God appointed a plant and then a worm and then a wind to teach Jonah, to teach us a lesson that he's always interested about doing the transformative work in our hearts. And he will give us the tools through his word. He will help us to see what it is we have to, you know, just like he did a few sessions ago where I had to engrave in my heart, let anger die over and over. If it's anger, lay it down. If it's jealousy and comparison, lay it down. We lay it down so that we too, along with Jesus, can look past those things at the joy in communing with him. We behold him and allow that to be our main focus in going, taking that next step, whatever it is, following Jesus. And eventually, in our next series, we'll get to Philippians, and that's where we see very well laid out in what's called the Christ hymn in chapter 2, where Jesus is that ultimate example. So why do we read all the Old Testament? Is because it gives us pieces leading up to the New Testament. But from beginning to end, it's God's grand story that he desired to be with us. That's why salvation is his.
I think we should wrap this one up. Bonnie, would you mind wrapping us up in prayer?
Sure. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you that you don't give up on us. And thank you, Father, for your transformative work in our hearts and our lives if we just will submit to you and to the work of the Holy Spirit within us. We thank you, Father, for this time. We thank you for just your hand, as we see your hand working in Jonah, as we see your hand working in our lives. And Father, we know that, yes, in Jonah you prepared a fish, you prepared a plant, you prepared the worm, you prepared the wind. But Father, through it all, you were preparing a prophet. And we just thank you, Father, that you reveal yourself to us through your word. And maybe we be faithful, Lord, in just being in your word and doing what we were doing around this table. And we just ask your blessings, Father, on all who are listening. And we just ask that you would give each of us more of a desire to be in your word, to learn more of who you are. Help us, Father, to see ourselves in the big plan of your great salvation. In your name I pray. Amen.